Always ask, well, what is this thing called Jesus Christ all about? You know, we can talk about the gospel, we can talk about the Bible, but sometimes the best way to express the gospel is through a changed life, through a life that's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And tonight we want you to just be a part of a testimony of a woman as well as her children who came to know Jesus Christ. She hit some tough roads along the way, but the reality of the gospel, the credibility of the gospel, shines so freely and truly through their lives. Would you help me to welcome tonight, as they share their testimony with you, Langi and her two sons, Emmanuel and John, as they come up. Would you welcome them?
We are honored and privileged to be standing before God tonight in front of you to share a testimony. In 1995, I found myself in an abusive relationship with the father of my children. I ran away from him, taking my children with me. We went to a homeless shelter, and it was there that I met a family member who gave us money to live in a hotel. In the hotel, I met a family friend who told me about an opportunity to make money, lots and lots of money. In desperation, I took the job. I started delivering drugs for her and eventually graduated to selling drugs on the street. The money was good. It provided food and shelter for my children, and life seemed good until I met a guy who introduced me to crack cocaine. I started staying away from my home. My mother had to come and help take care of my children. Things got worse, from not going home to living on the street, selling drugs and using at the same time. Without knowing it, I sold drugs one day to an undercover police officer. That resulted in a prison term. Upon release from prison, I was sent to a treatment center. After 8 months of treatment, I was released and eventually was able to live on my own with my children. I remained sober and off drugs and worked for a cleaning company for a couple of years. I started looking around me and saw others that were still selling drugs and thought, if I could just sell the drugs and not use it, I'll be okay. It was June of 1998. On my way home early one morning, I found home. My home surrounded with the police and the SWAT team. I was in a taxi cab and I wanted to run and not stop. But I found that I couldn't because my kids and my family were in the house. And that day, they knew nothing of why the police was in our home. I surrendered myself to the police. Before they took me away, I asked permission to say goodbye to my children and family. I remember being taken away and hearing my children crying out, "Mommy, come back." A year later, I was sentenced to a minimum of 3.5 years in prison. I spent part of my prison term in Oklahoma prison. It was while I was in Oklahoma, I remember crying out to God to please help me with my messed up life. God had blessed me with beautiful children, and yet I wasn't home to take care of them. I repented for the way that I stubbornly lived my life, promoting and selling drugs, placing my children's lives in danger. I repented for having been used as an instrument of the devil to destroy families through selling them drugs. I not only repented, but I also invited Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of my life. I started to read the Bible and I attended church services in prison. God began to teach me through His Word, and it is because of His uncompromised Word that my life continued to change today. Upon my release from prison, I visited New Hope at Farrington High School. And because of the teachings and the messages that I receive each week through Pastor Wayne and all the pastors of New Hope, that my life continues to change. It was also at New Hope that I met with Pastor Roy Yamamoto, New Hope's prison chaplain. He invited me to join New Start Ministry. New Start Ministry is a support group for ex-inmates and their families and those struggling with drugs and alcohol. This support group offers biblical teachings, counseling, and outreaches, community outreaches. Today, I am blessed to be leading the New Start Women's Ministry. We continue to meet each Monday and provide help in maintaining accountability with one another. God has blessed me with 3 sons who has all received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And now Emmanuel and John would like to share with you.
Hi, my name is Emmanuel Tuilata, and I'm 11 years old. I was 5 years old when my mom left me to go to prison. I felt sad about that. I prayed to God that he would forgive my mom and bring her back home safely. God didn't answer my prayer right away, but he did in 2001. My mom came back home. I felt that I was, and still am, the most blessed child in the whole world. Thank you.
Hi, my name is John, and I am thankful that God forgave my mom, and I am grateful that he gave my mom a second chance in life. And if he can change my mom's life, he can change yours. Me and my brother would like to share a scripture.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
In closing, I would like to say that I am so grateful that I'm no longer being used as an instrument of the enemy, but I am being used as an instrument of Almighty God to bring hope to the hopeless and life to those that need Jesus. And our hope is that you will join us in our decision to, it says in Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless you, and thank you for letting us share.
I will follow Christ. Yes, I will run the race. And fighting the good fight, standing on my faith, I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life. As for me, no matter what the sacrifice, speaking in my heart today.
His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. By the fire to show the way.
So I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my face. I will wear the name of Jesus. I will give him all my life.
Run the sacrifice. I will follow Christ.
Hold your life. See the man you want me to become. Live a life someone is born. Belongs to the kingdom that was sealed on Calvary.
You just take a look at that. That's, you know, that's just not a song. Those are individual stories of changed lives. And it's all because they let the Master walk into their lives and they open their hearts. And you look at that. I mean, the odds were stacked against them. And this is our prison ministry, the big one, one of the big ones, in the middle, Roy Yamamoto. He's our chaplain to the prison ministries. And, you know, I think, wow, isn't that great? My. Thank God for that. Well, I want you to know you're looking at a happy man today because my daughter, my last of my kids, Abby, graduated from high school. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She made it. She made it. You know, and I named all my kids starting with A, Amy, Aaron, Abby, hoping it would be prophetic for their grades in school. I'm a false prophet. I should have named them P or NP for just pass, no pass. That's good enough. But still, I'm a happy dad. And we want to say congratulations to all of the graduates. Would you give them all a hand? Congratulations. Hey, by the way, you like this lei? Isn't that neat? This is a Tongan lei. I made it myself. No, not really. But it's just a beautiful lei. I have a poragile on too, but you can't see that because under my arms, underneath. But isn't that beautiful? They just make all of these things here, and each is an individual, like a flower made of tea leaves. So it's a beautiful lei. Thank you to Lalu and her husband Daniel, a Tongan family in our church that just shares their aloha or whatever. I don't know. How do you say that in Tongan? Yeah, aloha. Okay, all right. You know, the outreach we had this weekend at Mayor Wright Housing, at CAM Housing and also at the Cujillo Park Terrace. It was wonderful, just outstanding. And last week, or a week before, we took an offering and you gave $23,000 in the offering so that we could go out and do these outreaches. And here's another cool thing. We just got news that we got a grant for about $80,000 a year for 3 years to help put a couple of community chaplains. It's a new program we're going to do, community chaplains, to help those areas of KPT and also CAM Housing and also Mayorite Housing from this church. People whose whole ministry will just be loving those people who might be at risk, or some people will just say, oh, the odds are stacked against them. But instead, we're going to go right into them and to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ, to help them in any way that we can to find the Master, because that's what God did for us when we had the odds stacked against us. How many of you are glad He did that for us? Man. I'm sure, you know, all of us feel like the odds are stacked against us from time to time. But it was especially one man I read about in 1996. His name was Lee Capps. He had all the odds stacked against him. In fact, the odd makers say that he should be dead. You see, he went up for the very first time in a private plane with his friend. And when they got to cruising altitude, his friend had a massive heart attack, the pilot, and died. This is his first time in a plane. And his friend, just two of them, his friend is hunched over the wheel, dead. Now, Lee Capps doesn't know what to do. Obviously, neither would I. But he saw his friend on the radio push this little thing and start talking into it. So he grabbed that and started yelling for help. Now, one of the air traffic controllers in the area heard this cry for help. Now, this guy had been trained in this crisis kind of stuff. When you hear somebody yelling their lungs out, you know something's going wrong. And so he speaks very calmly. And the air traffic controller, now he's about, 18,000 feet up. And so he speaks to him and he says to him, I understand that you have a problem up there. And he screams, yes. He said, my friend is dead and I'm trying to fly this plane. I don't know what to do. He said, you know what? I've got good news for you. All trained, right, to keep him calm. I've got good news for you, he said. I am also a flight instructor. Would you be interested in a lesson? So he begins to tell him about the basic maneuvering of an airplane, how to keep the wings level, how to keep it flying. And then he talks him through how to bring it down and how to land the plane. And then he says to him, now, Mr. Capps, now this is going to be very important. This is your most important lesson, what I've just talked to you about. This is the most important lesson you'll ever receive in your whole life. You know why? Because now you must apply everything I just taught you. You got to land this plane. It is your only hope. You must apply everything I just taught you. Well, he came in and it was not quite a graceful landing. It was more like a drunken goose that was blind and one wing put on backwards. But he came in and he kind of scratched the ground and it tumbled a little bit, but he walked away and he's alive today. Now, all the odds were stacked against him. And in an interview later with the flight, the tower guy, he said this, I knew it was a long shot, but Lee Capps defied all the odds. And I thought, man, isn't that something? The odds can be stacked against you from time to time, but there is a way through. There are people who actually make their living as odd makers, or they figure out the probabilities of something coming to pass, the mathematical probabilities, predicting the odds against something happening, or maybe they try to determine the chances of what would happen here or there. For example, insurance brokers, they're sort of like odd makers. Sportscasters, or even real estate investors, stockbrokers, they're all counting the odds of this happening or that happening. Now, to an extent, we all count the odds in life. We all do. We started when we were young kids, kind of playing with the odds against this happening or against that happening. I was reading a book. It was called A Children's Book of Things I've Learned. And listen to how these young kids kind of learn about the odds against something happening or not happening. Here it is. Here's the first one. Michael, he's age 11, and he writes this. I learned this past year that when your mom is really mad and asks, "Do you think I'm stupid?" don't answer her. He learns that when you do, the probability of death just increased 500%. Here's another one. Annie, 12. She writes, I learned to never tell your mom that her diet isn't working. Joel, 10 years old, never pick on your sister when she's holding a bat. See, the probabilities of death just increased on that one. And here's a great one. Her name is Kyoko. She's 10 years old. She writes, I learned to never start the vacuum cleaner when you're holding on to your kitty. Yeah, multiple lacerations is what she's talking about. Well, there are people that are professional actuaries, professionals who analyze and compile statistics, and they use them to determine and calculate insurance risks. I mean, that's their whole profession. They can tell you the odds of people under 25 getting into accidents, or even a car of a certain color has more probabilities of getting a ticket than others. Did you know that you're 10 times more likely to get injured riding a bicycle than from driving a car? And there's a likelihood of your car being stolen if it's a certain kind of car, a certain model. In fact, you want to know the top 5 cars that get stolen? Yeah, this is actually from, according to State Farm Insurance, that they will tell you that you are 57 more times likely to have your car stolen if you have, here's the top one, a Honda Civic. So when you price that car, you better factor in a security guard 24/7 for that thing. Here's the second one. Interestingly, it came up, and it's a Saturn. Saturn is the second. And the third, a Honda Accord. And the fourth, an Acura Integra. So if you got any of those, you better hang on to it. Now, the least likely car to get stolen is if you're still driving one of those Ford Pintos. You can actually leave the keys in the ignition and leave the thing running, and it is a mathematical impossibility for anyone to steal it. Do odd makers ever get stumped? Yeah, they do. You think, who would have ever thought the odds? The odds against 4 planes in 2001 being hijacked simultaneously, and 3 of them hitting buildings all within hours of one another, the Pentagon and 2 into the World Trade Centers. Who would have ever thought about that? Or the odds that a tsunami would strike on December 26th and take over 250,000 lives. I mean, who would have ever thought those odds? Or that a baby would survive after that tsunami and would be found in the rubble among others that were dead, called Baby 81. 15 parents tried to claim that baby, but finally its parents were found. The odds against all of that are astronomical. Some time ago, I went to Halava prison to speak, and a couple of hundred inmates came to hear, and our music team sang, and we shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And about 60 of those inmates opened their hearts to receive Jesus Christ. These men who had the odds stacked against them. The odds were against them. They were People had just locked him up and thrown away the key. But Jesus Christ entered that prison that day and set them all free. Now, you see the thing, I got to tell you something about our God. Our God loves to turn the tables on odd makers and surprise us with his grace. That's the kind of God that we serve. You got to know that about him. You just got to know that about him. And you see, the odd makers were wrong in the Bible days too. When David was running from Saul and his whole army, God chose that one who had just a dead end written on his epitaph that he wouldn't make it anywhere. And the Lord said, I'm going to turn the tables on the odd makers. You watch this, and my grace is going to surprise the world with you, David. The odds were against a man named Moses who was rejected by Pharaoh, who blotted his name out of the annals of history and shoved him into the desert. And there in the middle of the desert, God said, Moses, all the odds are stacked against you, but I am going to pull you out of the desert, and you're going to be one of the greatest leaders this world will have ever have seen. And you know what? I'm going to surprise you with my grace. That's the kind of God that we serve. The odds were against a man named Joseph who was in prison. He was pushed into prison and forgotten again and again on a trumped up false charge. He could have gotten bitter. He could have become cynical. But instead, God says, I'm going to stump all the odd makers that say that you're finished, Joseph, and I'm going to pick you out of prison, and I'm going to make you the second most powerful man in the world, and I'm going to surprise the world with my grace. That's the kind of God that we serve. And you see stories of that all the time. You might be here, and you'd think the odds are stacked against you. You may be suffering from a financial setback. You could be a single mom raising kids all alone, thinking, what in the world am I doing? You might seem like you're at a dead end or an impasse because you've been rejected. Or things that were going one way didn't turn out the way that you expected. Or maybe a dream that was shattered. I want you to know something about my God, that he loves to stump the odd makers of this world and surprise you with his grace. So I want to be that air traffic controller today for you. And I want to give you some instructions and help you so that the odds that are stacked against you will be banished and you'll be surprised by God's grace, just like all of us were. Let me tell you a little bit about the story of one who had the odds stacked against him. His name was David. Now, we know the end of the story, that one day he becomes a great king. But I want you to rewind the tape with me. As you see this guy, he was the youngest of 8 kids. Now, I don't know about you. I'm the youngest of 4. And you just don't get that much attention. I mean, you see, when you're the firstborn, you look at the photo albums of the firstborn, or the slideshows. You know, sort of like my oldest sister, Londa. She got all the attention. Now, David is the youngest of 8. Now, let me just tell you about the youngest of 4. Here's a photo album. Here's Londa when she's born, coming out. Here's Londa at 1 minute old. Here's Londa drinking her first bottle. First diaper change. Oh, day number 2. Here she is. Yes, look at that. And then it goes on. Oh, here's Londa. Yeah, Gerber's her first Gerber's. Yes, she's crawling. Now she's walking. I mean, it just goes like that. The second born, Jerome, my older brother. Here's Jerome being born. Here's his first birthday. Second birthday. Gary, the third. Here's Gary graduating from high school. And then the fourth, me. Here's Wayne. Let's see here. We got to get some pictures of this kid, don't we? Yeah, there's like nothing. And I thought, David, he's the youngest of 8. And he goes to the front battle. And this guy, this 9-foot giant suffering from a major case of ugly, shows up. And he begins to defy the people of God. And he says, you guys are a bunch of scrawny scaredy cats. And I defy the ranks of this Israel army. You bunch of wimps. And he's standing there with 6 fingers and 6 toes. That's right. That's what he was. It was this huge guy, over 9 feet tall. Didn't even know how to count. He didn't have the right amount of fingers. and he begins to defy. Now, David came up and he looks at this, and of course the odds are stacked against them. And David said, I'd like to be a part of this fight. And even those that were on David's side begin to turn to him and say, who are you? But David said, no, no. It says this in 2 Corinthians. It says, no, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we need to look at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal. And he began to refocus his eyeballs, not on that ugly thing, but beyond that ugly thing to a great and majestic God who could defy the odds. You see, we serve a God who defies the odds. He looked up at that giant, and that giant looked down at him, and listen to what the giant says. It says he was sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. And the giant said, am I a dog, Goliath roars, that you would come with me with a stick and some leather? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. And Goliath said, come over here, and I'm going to give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, he yells. Now David is this little kid, and he shouts in reply. And you can almost see him oozing with courage and confidence. And he shouts in reply, and he says, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you, and he looks at his stick in one hand and leather sling in the other. I come to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I come to you not with sword or spear, but the God of the armies of Israel, the very God who you're taunting. You're in big trouble. You're in deep weeds. And the giant Goliath got so upset, he picks up his spear, and it said it was the size of a weaver's beam. I mean, it's just like this. He picked up his spear, and the Bible says David, who had taken some rocks, stuck it in his pouch, starts running towards the giant, loads up his 12-gauge, and starts swinging this helicopter. You can just hear it. And this little kid is now, all the odds are stacked against this kid. I mean, he was raised in the backside of the desert. You remember when Samuel came to anoint the new king. So his big brother Eliab came, and then Shammah came, and some of the others. And Samuel said, no, God said it's somebody else. Who is this one that God is going to use to defy the odd makers and surprise with his grace? Don't you have any more kids, Jesse? Jesse said, well, I have one more kid, but he's kind of just a little, a little rut, just a runt out in the desert. He's in the backside of the desert. He plays his guitar out there. He's got like kinky hair, and he has a band called the Sheep Fuzz or something like that. And they just play psalms all the time. Yeah, you bring him. Yeah, the odds are kind of stacked against him, though. He's not really one of those that you'd want. No, you bring him. This was the kid that was swinging the whirly bird. He was starting his weed whacker up. And he starts running down, the Bible says, towards the giant. And he lets a stone go. That thing starts spinning towards him. Whap! It hits Mr. Ugly right between the eyes. And he stopped and he said, whoa! Nothing like this has ever entered my mind before. And he dies. And, you know, I think, man, were the odds stacked against David or what? We have a God who loves to turn the tables on the odd makers and surprise us with his grace. He did that with Moses. When Moses came up to the Red Sea and it was an impasse, and all the odds were stacked against Moses, and God said, watch this, and surprised him by his grace. The odds were stacked against Joseph in prison, and God intervened. The odds were stacked against Jonah when he was swallowed by a whale in the belly of the whale, covered with bile and limu and whale barf. And everything was against him. And God says, I'm going to turn the tables on the odds stacked against you, Jonah. and I'm going to surprise the world with my grace. I mean, folks, look around. How many of us had the odds stacked against us? And God's going to use you to surprise the world by his grace. We serve a God who loves to turn the tables on the odd makers and surprise us. And he began that 2,000 years ago, turning the tables. When on the cross, God intervened. When the odds were stacked against mankind, and we didn't have a chance. Because the Bible says that we were so infested with sin. And the wages of sin is not just a little bit of sickness. It's what? It's death. And the odds were stacked against us. And God said, I'm not going to let those odds win. And he came in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would just believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus made his choice about us 2,000 years ago when he died for our sins so that he could clear the way, he could clear the tarmac for you and me. But it still leaves us with a choice. We can just still say no. But he made his choice and he made his move. Because you see, the Lord knows, and it's written in the book of Romans, for the wages or the consequences of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's what kind of gift? A free gift. But do we have a choice in it? Yeah, you better believe we do. It's like if you got a full ride scholarship to Harvard. Full ride, completely paid by someone who loved you. The only stipulation is if you take this scholarship, you've got to keep a B average. Just a B average in order to not forfeit the scholarship. Now, the scholarship is completely paid for, free. But your part in it is you've got to be willing to keep a B average. Well, at any time, I can just go ahead just by sliding and procrastinating. I can destroy and forfeit that wonderful privilege of a free gift of scholarship. But it's sort of like this. The Lord paid for the scholarship. And he says, now, you're needing to do something, and that is to open your heart to him who purchased that for you. In every case, when the odds are stacked against us, we still have a choice. We can take matters into our own hands, and like Longy said, she can end up in prison. She can destroy her life, or she can place her life in God's hands, and he takes over and he defies the odds. There's a lot of times when the odds are stacked against you. The choice still remains. You can take matters into your own hands, like we see in the world every day when there's problems and wars because of that. And then the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Or we can say, Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to put my life in your hands. It's up to you. I always share this illustration of a bar of steel. If you put the bar of steel into one person's hand and you turn that bar of steel, invest that bar of steel into nails, like what you build houses with, that bar of steel will be worth about $30 if it's invested in nails. Or you can take that same bar of steel and this time put it into cutlery or knife blades. If you make it into knife blades, now it's going to be worth about $3,000. Now, if you take that same bar of steel and put it into fine Swiss watch springs, that same bar of steel now will be worth over $3 million. Same bar of steel. Just depends what you do with it. And you see, your life is filled with potential. Oh, sure, there's going to be times where the odds are going to be stacked against you. But you got to know something about our God. He loves to turn the tables on the odds and surprise us with his grace and use us as an example to the world of what God can do. But you've got to be willing to put your life in his hands. It'll make a huge difference as to what you will become. And today I'm going to challenge you. Challenge many of you who have never made that decision to follow Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to open your heart and make the most eternal decision that you'll ever make in your life. The decision about putting your life in the hands of the Lord. He is the one who can defy every odd. When there's no light at the end of the tunnel, He's the one that can turn the tables on the enemy. And what the devil means for harm, God says, I will turn for good. But you've got to be willing to put your life in my hands. That's why the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the consequences of my own sin. The results of my own poor decisions. And if I took things into my own hands, the obvious consequences and results that'll take place. That's what God can do. He can turn that around. And today, before we leave, I want to give you that opportunity. But before that, I wanted a dear friend of mine, Dominic Kaihui, to come and share. He is someone that I thought the odds were stacked against. But because of God's grace, he is now in the ministry today. I want him just to tell you a little bit of his story, how that happened. Would you welcome with me Dominic Kaihui as he comes?
Listen to Pastor Wayne, the message really hits home. Because I had a truck that nobody wanted. That was my truck, and I don't want wanted that truck. Nah, just kidding. But about in 1995, I was invited to a church in Kona called Thy Word Ministries. And at that point in my life, I was rock bottom. I had no job, no money. And I was hanging around with some drug dealers. I wasn't a drug dealer personally because I had too much pride. I smoked everything myself. So I could never sell nobody drugs. But I had no job, no money, and I was addicted to ice. And I was invited to a church to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was the first time I really heard the gospel. I mean, I grew up in a church, but I heard the gospel for the first time. And at the end of the church service, the pastor invited people to receive Christ, much like yourself. Pastor Wayne's going to do that in a little while. And he invited people to receive Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And I knew Jesus was the way out of my life and my lifestyle. And I sat in my seat crying like a baby because I didn't want to give up my life of drugs or give up the friends I was hanging out with. And I was crying and crying. And there was a Hawaiian lady sitting next to me. And she was just rubbing my leg. He said, brother, you will receive Jesus today. And I said, no way. Get 60 people here that know me. I'm not going to give up my life for Christ. And I continued on. Off and on, I went to this church and I heard about the gospel and I knew Jesus was the way out, but I wasn't willing to give up my life. Then I came home in 1996. I live here from here. I'm from Papakolea. And I called one of my good friends who I knew who was walking with the Lord. His name was Larry. And I asked Larry. I called Larry on the phone. And at that point, I was ready to commit suicide because I had nowhere to go. And I called Larry and I said, Larry, I'm coming home to Honolulu. And I was wondering if you could take me to church. And Larry got really shocked because I never asked him to go to church before. And as he was talking to me about church, he invited me to New Hope. And I came to a service at the campus center at UH. And it was Father's Day. And Pastor Wayne was talking about becoming a man of God. And I sat in my chair looking at him and I said, you know what? I want to be that man of God that he's talking about. And at the end of the church service, Pastor Wayne gave an invitation to receive Christ. And he started to invite people, and he was looking across the crowd. And I was sitting in the corner, and he looked towards me, and he looked the other way. And when he looked the other way, I raised my hand really quick, and I put it down, because he didn't want him to see me. But I went home, I had lunch with Larry, and I told Larry everything that I was going through, the drugs, the things that I was going through, and I was crying again. I didn't know what to do. And Larry said something I'll never, ever forget. He said, Dominic, God has forgiven all that things that's happened. But what's going to make the difference is what you're going to do from this moment on. And That was the biggest encouragement, because I began to walk with Jesus from that day. And so some of the things I did is I wanted to desire the same thing for my family. And every single night I had a list of people on my list that I wanted to wanted them to know Christ. And a lot of them was my family. And I used to cry myself to sleep praying, Lord, save my family. Lord, save my family. And one by one, they started to come. In fact, I was sitting in service, and my nephews and my sister all received Christ. And when Pastor Wayne said, give an invitation to receive your hand and bow your heads. And when I closed my eyes, I peeked to see if my family would receive Jesus Christ. And one by one, their hands went up to receive Christ. And you better pray that your name not on my list today, because pretty soon you're going to know Christ too. I thank God for Pastor Wayne and his ministry, because now, after listening to the message on Father's Day, God has called me to be the men's pastor of our church. And it's so great that a God who trusts people with the odds stacked against them can love us no matter what we've been through. Maybe you can make a decision for Jesus Christ to you. Thank you.
And that's just like our Lord, isn't it? To take someone where the odds are so stacked against them and their life is just in shattered. And just within a short time, God can take this one, give him a call to the ministry, and now his whole life is given to helping others. You think, isn't that something of our God? Now here, as the air traffic controller, I want to say this. If you've never opened your heart to Jesus Christ, please do so. And here's the most important part. Right now, everything you've heard, you're going to have to apply. Apply what you have learned. Even as he said to Lee Capps, you got to apply everything you heard. That's your only hope. And the gospel is our only hope. And as you apply what the gospel asks us, invites us to, God is delighted to come in and turn the tables on the odds and surprise us with his grace. He did that for so many. He'll do that for you. So now I want to challenge you to make the most eternal decision that you'll ever make in your whole life. And that is a decision to say yes to Jesus Christ. Because he knows your past, but more so, he has a plan for your future. And now you get to choose whether you want his way or the consequences of your way. Whose hands are you going to place your life in? His or yours? I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus. You say, well, how do you do that? You just tell him. Just tell him, Lord, I need forgiveness. I don't understand everything there is to understand about you. But I know that I need a Savior. And I need you to come into my life and change it. I will walk with you. I turn from my sin and the ways that I've rejected you. And I want to turn to you. Lord, I need another chance. And if that's your heart, the Lord is listening. In fact, the Bible says this. All of heaven rejoices when one of his children, one, says yes to Jesus Christ. I want to give you that opportunity now. So would you bow your heads with me as we conclude? If you're here and you'd say, you know, Wayne, that's me. That's me. I just really need Jesus' forgiveness. And I know that he made his choice 2,000 years ago. His choice to love me and his choice to be there for me. Now today is my choice. And the Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from our own consequences. Saved from the consequences of our sin and our rejecting him. And if you're here and you say, you know, I want to open my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to start afresh with him. Then all of heaven awaits. All you got to do is call on Jesus. And if that's your heart, I want you right now to raise a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Yep, okay, yeah. Just raise your hands. Yep, okay. Yeah, you too. Yep, yeah. In the back, yeah, I see those. Yep, and Jesus sees those too. Hold them up for a second so I can see them. Okay, yeah, down here. Yeah, you know, the Lord is watching right now, and you've got to respond to just say, yeah, Lord, that's me. That's me. And God begins. A whole thing starts in motion a divine intervention starts and is put into motion because of his children coming home. Yeah, I see those hands too. All right. You can put your hands down. If you're here and you said yes to Jesus, there's a yes table outside for those who have said yes to the Lord. Would you please stop by there and pick up a yes packet? In it is a Bible and some follow-up materials to help you in your first few steps. And it's for those who have called upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to ask you to all pray this prayer with me. I'll lead you in this prayer, and then we'll have a final closing song. But let's all pray this prayer out loud, and let's make it the cry of our hearts. And if you've received the Lord before, let's pray this prayer together and renew our hearts to Him who loves us most. Would you pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and that you died for me, that I might have life everlasting. I turn away from my sins and I turn to you to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins and help me to become the person you created me to be. I will follow you. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you so much for embracing these who've said yes to you. Thank you for surprising us with your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these who made that decision to call upon the name of the Lord.